Hey, this is Zach Childress, your real estate coach, coming to you back again with your real estate investing talk show. And I'm excited about this show because this is the one you need to pay attention to. This is the one that's going to help you understand what the assets are that you need to be going after. Listen, in our life and in our journey, we're always looking for an advantage when it comes to financial income. We're always looking for a way to create some security with extra income. We're always looking for a way to either decrease expenses or increase revenue. And sometimes in a position when you're working 9 to 5, you don't always have that avenue unless you have some type of commission base, or you've gotten wise and you've started to build a real estate rental portfolio. And so that's what I want to talk to you about today. And I don't care if you're brand new, if you're seasoned, or if you've been doing it for a day, or if you've been doing it for 10 years, you need to listen when it comes to building portfolios, because that's the way that you create that extra income that subsidizes your living, subsidizes your, I had a big bill this month, or subsidizes, I want to go on a big fancy vacation. So if you understand what I'm saying, then you need to just listen up, because you also need to be aware that if you're listening to me on the radio, or if you're listening to me on the podcast, you need to be on my Facebook live show. That's where you get to interact with me personally. You get to ask questions. You get to let me know if you're listening or if you're hearing me. You know, if you're digging what I'm putting down, you know what I'm saying? You need to be over there. That's reisuccessacademy.com/Facebook. That's reisuccessacademy.com/Facebook. So join us over there. Be part of it, because my Facebook family, man, these guys are the great of all students, okay? They're on here, they're digging the information, they're feeding it, they're saying hi to everybody, they're giving lots of kudos to everybody, they're inspiring everybody to do more each and every day. It's a movement, and so I encourage you to join that. Go to reisuccessacademy.com/Facebook, okay? So be part of that. Hey, listen, if you're just joining me and you're trying to figure out who I am, who's this guy, who am I watching on Facebook, or who am I listening to on the radio right now, my name is Zach Childress, and I am your real estate coach. Why? Because I live it, I breathe it, I eat it, I do everything with it. You name it, I do it, okay? Only thing I don't do is taxes. I don't do, well, not that I don't pay taxes, but I just don't do tax certificates or anything like that. I like to just make the money right now, okay? So I share that with you because you need to know that if you want to know more about me, you need to get my book called MyFirstDealPlaybook.com. You can go get that right now. It is flying off the shelves. You can get it on Amazon. It's MyFirstDealPlaybook.com or Amazon. I need to tell you guys to get it on Amazon, don't I? Because that's where I need to send you to. I'm going to hit bestseller on Amazon. I'm only going to do it with your help. So listen, if you've already got the book, which a lot of you already do, you need to go over to ffflive.com/book review. Do me a favor. Tell other people about how much you like the book, okay? fflive.com/book review. Other than that, I need you to go to Amazon and get the book. Get the book on Amazon. You'll be surprised. You'll be surprised. I think I just saw my Australian, my student jump on here. Mr. Robert Coop is in the house from Australia. Good job, Robert. See, some of you guys live right here in the same time zone. You won't even wake up and get on. So here's the deal. Today's message is all about single family versus small apartments. So I want to help everyone learn this. So if you're riding down the road listening to me on the radio, if you listen to the podcast, take some notes. Well, if you're driving, I don't need you to take too many notes, but I'm going to split it up, okay? So the first session I want to talk to you about is why single families and why multi-units, okay? Here's why. You need cash flow. Point blank. You need it. You need to be able to go to bed at night and have cash flow coming in. That's what you need. You need to be able to know that when I'm sleeping, I'm making money. That's what you need. And you need multiple streams of cash flow. So how do you create that? You diversify your living. You diversify your financial understanding of money. You have to understand leverage. Leverage, leverage, leverage. So many people, and listen, let's just talk about one in particular, Mr. Ramsey. Love the guy. I think he does great. I think he has a world of knowledge, but I have to disagree with him on a few things. Only because I know how I've built my success over my lifetime and how I've gotten myself into the multi-zero figures of my financial net worth, and that's through the power of leverage. I am not a believer in paying off anything until you're on the back side of the leverage model. You've got to leverage to maximize your ultimate return on your dollars so that you can then get to a place of stability so you can start paying everything off. So I say that because I need you to understand the power of leverage. How does leverage come? It comes from lines of credits. It comes from credit cards. It comes from bank loans. It comes from HELOCs. It comes from business lines. If you don't go get it, you don't even know you got it. And so many people are like, well, I don't want to use a credit card. Well, I don't want to use a line of credit. Why not? You got to understand there's a thing called good assets and there's things called bad assets. For instance, you go out and buy a Land Rover for $80,000. Well, that's a bad asset. That's a negative asset. You go out and buy a rental house for $80,000 that's producing $300 a month in cash flow. That's a good asset. You understand? And you buy both of them with leverage. You can leverage for a car loan or you could leverage for a house, but one of them produces great assets, which one of them produces cash flow. And the other leverage that you need to understand is the ability to leverage funding for your education. Because some of you need more education than you could have ever dreamed possible, but you're wondering, how am I going to pay for it? Leverage, my friend. That's the investment in yourself that no one can ever take away from you. You understand? You can't default on your own knowledge. You can't default on the amount of information that you receive and apply into the marketplace. There is no default on that unless you just choose not to do anything with the knowledge that you gain. So you have to understand there is good leverage and there's bad leverage. Bad leverage, what? Go buy a car with bad leverage, right? That's a bad leverage move. Good leverage, investing in your education, investing in assets that produce cash flow, that's good leverage. And so that's why we have to understand the power of single families and multi-units, because we have to be able to leverage to move into that process, because when we can leverage, we can grow faster. For instance, if I only had $50,000 and I went out and bought a $50,000 house, I'm done. I'm over. I'm kaput. There's no more. I can't do anything else. Do you understand? Like I've blown my wad right there. All my money's gone. It's all out there. It's in one house and I have nothing else I can do with it. That's misuse of capital. You understand? Because I can't do anything else with it. It's in one property. Or now two things. I could take that same $50,000. I could invest that into multiple properties by leveraging lines of credit, leveraging banks, leveraging partnerships, leveraging asset lenders, leveraging hard money lenders. I can leverage that $50,000 and I can spread it out across several different investments. So now I'm taking my wad of money and I'm putting a little bit in each property and I'm leveraging institutional financing or lines or asset-based or hard money lenders so that I can maximize the return on that money. That's leverage. Or I can leverage it the best way possible. I can take some of it, leverage it into investments, take some of it, leverage it into my education so that I can personally get smarter and I can get my brain worked out through fitness of education, part of our 5F formula, right? And I can go out and learn how to maximize even more leverage in the marketplace. And see, that's the key. If you really want to understand the power of movement of money, it's leverage. It's leverage. And that's our show today. So, hey, listen, for all my podcasts and radio, this is Zach Childress, and I'll be right back with the rest of the show. Hey, welcome back. Zach Childress here. Sorry for the long break, but I'm back and we're live and we're doing this thing on Facebook. I hope you join me on Facebook, reisuccessacademy.com/Facebook. Get over there. We're running numbers while we're on break with you guys. You're missing it out. You're missing out on it. You're missing out on it. You're missing out on it. So here's the thing. We're digging into single families versus small multi-units and why you need to be building cash flow and the power of cash flow and how to get your money leveraged and how to move into the market. One of the things that came up that kind of rubbed me the wrong way was this whole 1% factoring. And listen, I don't blame you guys because that's what was taught to me when I first got started. And you know, and it was the agents teaching me that. But what I realized real quick was, why was the agents teaching me that? Because they wanted to sell me the dadgum house. Right? So they were like, oh, here it is. It's 1%. You should buy it. No, guys. When I started doing that, I had the worst investments. When I learned how to move that understanding into what's called a cash-on-cash return formula was when I really started understanding the power of moving money. And that's what I want to share with you. Whether you're going after single families or whether you're going after multi-units, it has nothing to do with what you pay for the house, okay? Let me be clear on that. It has everything to do with how much you put in. This is where leverage comes in, okay? Leverage. So I share that with you because I want you to understand the difference. So single families. Let's start with single families. Why would single families be a good investment? Well, there's a couple of reasons why. Number one, single families have the ability to appreciate more than multi-units do. Multi-units appreciate in different types of market transitions. Multi-units can appreciate during what we call hyper markets. And those are rare. I mean, those pop up and they go away, so they're transitional and you got to catch them at the right time. Where single families have a tendency to always go up in value over time. And so it's like you buy it today, you 15 years later, you own the property free and clear and you're good. And that's the benefit of a single family. The other benefit of a single family is the financing is always so much easier. The other benefit of a single family, just so that you guys are keeping up with me, is that we don't have to incur a lot of the same secondary expenses. Remember, whenever we run our numbers for cash on cash return, there's three types of number groups that we need to make sure we're removing. Number one is primary expenses. You know, principal, interest, tax, and insurance on a property. Number two is always secondary expenses, and that's, are we paying for landscaping, dumpster fees, trash, utilities, cable, whatever the landlord has agreed to. And the third type of expenses is always going to be reserve accounts so that we stay safe in the transaction. And so I share that with you because you need to really understand what a cash on cash return is and why you need to be basing your investments off of that, because it has everything to do with your money. You understand? It has everything to do with what your money is making you. That's what it has everything to do with. Nothing else, okay? Nothing else. It has everything to do with that. And so I share that with you because I need you in the right mindset if you're going to get into financial literacy and not just go out, you know, stumbling over deals and buying them because your agent told you to buy them. And look, I don't have anything against agents. I just have everything against agents that are lazy and don't quite understand what investing is all about. They're in the business of selling houses. You're in the business of buying investments. You understand? That's what you're in the business of. I keep moving this mic, and I hope that it's not killing my sound. I hear him moving around in there.
No, he's quiet in there.
Okay. Oh, yeah, it did it.
It's going to be cable number six.
Is it going to be cable number six?
Yeah, it'll be the six cables. This time I'm building
notes. All right. Test one, two.
Is it going to be cable number six?
Oh, there we go. Okay. So the point of it is this, is get in the game and understand cash on cash return. Once you understand that, then you're understanding the leverage and you're understanding financial literacy, okay? So for all my listeners, viewers, people that are on board, I want you to catch this real quick. Single families can have an advantage for you, one, because of price point, okay? So if you're just getting started and you don't have the ability to go after, you know, $150,000, $200,000, $250,000, $300,000, $400,000 deal, then you can go after a $20,000 rental. You can go after a $30,000 rental or a $40,000 rental. You can go after those. And here's why. Because you need to use the power of leverage. So if I'm going to buy a $35,000 rental, and they want 20% down, well, I'm talking $7,000 out of pocket. You with me? $7,000 out of pocket. That's the beauty of that type of transaction, which means anytime you pay roughly $30,000 for a deal, leverage, not cash, leverage, $30,000 to $35,000 for a deal leverage, you need to be renting that door out for about $500 a month. That's something you need to write down. Okay? That's not a 1%. You understand where the agent will say, oh, well, if you buy it for $35,000, it needs to rent for $350,000. No, but BS. That's where you're going to get into the 8% returns, 9% returns. And look, some of you might even be happy with that, but I'm here to tell you that there are better deals out there if you look at what's going on in the market, and you have to go after them. You're not going to find them on the MLS. They're going to be out there by for sale by owners. That's the reality, okay? So when we position it that way, then that's the way that we grow the business. So I'm telling you, leverage is how you make the cash king, okay? So if I go out and I leverage a single family residence, I really only have two expense factors. You ready for this? Where in multifamily, I have three expense factors, because in a single family, I'm not responsible for trash. I'm not responsible for landscaping or yard maintenance. I'm not responsible for any of that. That's the owner of the property. That's their responsibility. That's why they want to rent a house, right? Because they want the yard, so they have to take care of it. I don't have any houses that I rent out that I have to pay utilities or I have to pay cable or any of that stuff, okay? I don't. Now, I don't have a lot of houses, and I'll explain why later, but they are an easy entry into a market of rental portfolio, and you can still get great returns on those, okay? Because here's why. Look at it from this factor. If I have a house that's worth $60,000 and I can get it for $40,000 and I have to put 20% down, I'm $8,000 in the deal, but I've got instant equity. You don't normally run into that in small apartments. Most small apartments, you don't get a lot of equity in those types of deals, okay? But also, I have the ability with a single family to do what's called a refinance out of a single family a lot easier than I do a small apartment. So what does that mean? That means I can leverage to the max. Listen. So if all I have to my name is $40,000, if that's it, if that's all I got left over is $40,000, I would play the single family game in a refinance position all the way to the end. And let me explain why. Because I could take that $40,000 and I could go buy a house. And here's the other reason. A refinance is actually a huge leverage for you. And because when I go to purchase that $40,000 house, they're gonna tell me that I have to put 20% down on the contract price, okay? Where when I refinance that $40,000 house, they're gonna tell me they'll refinance me at 80% of appraised amount, okay? Two totally different numbers. I could get it appraised. It might be appraising for $55,000, which now means what? That I might be able to pull a loan out for $45,000, which means I'd get all my $40,000 back plus $5,000 in my pocket. So now I just made $5,000 to buy that house, and I can move the rental property forward because now what? I have zero money in that house. So when you have zero money in a house, you're not a cash on cash return anymore. You're an ROE. Write that down. Return on equity, okay? Return on equity. And that's what I'm basing my return on, is the equity in the property. What's my return on that equity based on net cash flow annualized? And should I leave that equity in that property, or should I sell that property and take that equity and go buy something else with it because I can get a higher rate of return on that equity? That's what you got to look at. So the refinance game, if I only had $40,000, that's exactly what I would do. I'd go out and buy $30,000 houses, $35,000 houses, $40,000 houses. I'd put a renter in them. I'd stabilize that rental property. I would, whatever the bank tells me, we have banks here locally that will do 30-day refinances. Some of you guys are in markets where they want 3, maybe 6 months. I'd stabilize that property. I'd refinance it, pull my money out, and go reinvest it. And here's why. Because let's say that they won't give me all my $40,000 back. Let's say I put $40,000 into a house and they only give me $35,000 back. Well, now I only have $5,000 in that house. You with me? So let's just assume that all that house does is give me $200 a month in net cash flow, net after debt services, after reserve account. That's $2,400 a year, and if all I've got is $5,000 in that deal, that means I'm running at a 49% cash-on-cash return for that deal. Are you with me? So in 2 years, I've got my money out of that deal. So now I got $35,000 to go after another house, buy it, wait 3 months, refinance it, get my $35,000 back. Now I've got another property, and I'm still rolling the same money that I started with when I started the game of building my rental portfolio. So single families have a huge benefit. The other thing about single families that you'll run into also is the tenants will stay longer. The tenants stay longer because they don't have to deal with riffraff next door or who you're renting to and so forth. And that's a big play in single families. But there's some downsides to single families. The downside is you got them spread all over town. You got house here, house there. If you need roofs fixed, you got five roofs you got to fix instead of one. If you got landscaping on all five houses, you got landscaping. The keeping up with it becomes harder and harder to do over time. You got taxes on every single houses. It becomes a portfolio management process where you have to really, really work on it to where, if you get into 60, 70, 80 houses, you got a lot running going on to where if I've got, let's say I got 10 small apartments with four units in it, well, I got 40 units under 10 roofs instead of, 40 houses spread out. So anyways, single families I'm a fan of. I'm especially a fan of single families for entry level, especially if you're just starting out with a little bit of money, but you got to leverage it. You got to leverage it, guys, and get away from this 1% theory. Just do that. I'll be right back with you guys. This is your real estate coach, Zach Childers. Hey, it's Zach Childers, and I'm back. I hope you gathered up enough information to realize if you like single families or not, but ultimately, I hope you've gotten the message that I'm trying to create here today, and that is leverage. Leverage is power. Leverage is king. Leverage creates cash flow like nobody's business. And if you will leverage and learn to leverage, you'll maximize the money that you do have and be able to create more money from your money. Don't pay cash for something unless your strategy is the refinance. Okay. Now I want to help. We're going to end the show with you guys on the radio and on podcast with, small apartments and why those are good and why they're bad. Okay. And listen, I'm not here to tell you to do one or the other. I'm just here to lay out the good and the bad of both of them. I own both. I own small apartments. I own big apartments. I own commercial. I own land. I own single families. You name it. I own it. But you need to know, right? You need to know. You need to create the life that you want by creating the strategies that work for you. And so I encourage you that, listen to this. Also, if you want, you need to jump over to my Facebook page and hear the rest of the story. I share it over there. So I want you to follow me when I say this, that when it comes to small apartments, there are some benefits. The benefits, number one, with a small apartment is that you have some risk management there, right? What does that mean? That means that if you have a vacancy, well, the good is I got three other units if I'm looking at a fourplex. And small apartments are typically around that 2, 3, and 4 units, okay? They fall under what's called residential financing. You can typically get them in our market, we can get loans for 10 to 15% down. And in some markets, they won't do that. They'll only require 20% down. But I also encourage you to find small banks that help with knowing the power of small apartments too, and they know your area. So I want you to look at it from that point of view. Well, if I go into small apartments, then if one person moves out, I'm good, right? Yeah, you're good. You just lose less cash flow, but that's why you got to have a reserve account. We talked about the three different, numbers you got to run: primary expenses, secondary expenses, and reserve account. So if you do have a vacancy, that reserve account pays you now instead of you losing money from a vacant property. Okay. So that's the good. The other good is you have actual less buildings. Okay. So you don't have as many insurance policies. You have less tax bills to keep up with, an accounting process. It's much easier. It's a lot better for you. So there's benefits in the small apartment. And also it gives you the experience to learn how to manage buildings so that you can move into bigger buildings. It is the next step. So those are definitely some benefits of it. I own them. I own a bunch of small apartments. I make a good living off of them. And, why is that? Because, we buy them cheap and we leverage them to death. We leverage them to where we have very little money in them. Most of the banks we work with, we're allowed to get into these small apartments with 15% down. know, and if I'm buying them for $100,000, I'm putting $15,000 into them. But at the end of the day, you know, I'm able to net out of those deals, you know, close to $6,000 a year. So if I'm putting $15,000 into it and I'm netting out $6,000 a year, well, you can see why my portfolio is running at that 35, 38, 40% return on my money. And so that's something. Now, there are some downsides to small apartments. And some of those downsides are is that, you know, it's the tenant quality, right? The tenant quality can be a little bit lower. And sometimes if you've got a good tenant in Unit A and you got a bad tenant in Unit B, well, the Unit A one doesn't want to live there anymore. So you've got to really be able to manage personality types, tenant quality, and it creates a little bit more of a challenge in that aspect. But, you know, you can get a big boom with small apartments if you buy them right and sell them in what's called a hyper apartment market, which we're in one right now, by the way. If you was going to sell any of your small apartments, this would be the time to sell them. The prices are flying out of the roof right now, where the ones we've bought for 60, 80, 100,000 are now selling for 160, 170 out there in the market right now. So, you know, there's a lot of gains and a lot of benefits from that. Some of the other stuff that you need to consider is that you got one roof, right? Everything's under one roof. Now, the other things, the other side you also got to remember is in small apartments, you have more expenses. It's just, there's no way around it. You got to keep up with the land and the yard and the bushes. You got common area that you have to keep up with, stairs, you know, porches that you got to make sure that you're, if it's a, you know, if you've got a building with four doors on the front, usually you got stairs going up the front with landing spaces. You got to keep up with all that. You know, those are things you got to be aware of. The other thing is usually trash. You got to have a dumpster out there. You know, these are extra expenses that you have to be aware of when you move into small apartments. It's just the nature of the beast. And also you got to make sure you have the right property management company. See, there's a lot of management companies that don't want to work with small apartments. They want to stay with single families because a single family house is easier to manage for them. Okay, there's some management companies that want to charge you more for small apartments because of why the turnover rate is can be higher, and you just got to make sure you manage for that correctly. You got to make sure you buy them right. One of the strategies with small apartments is to always buy them to where you're getting the loan so that you're closing at the end of the month so that your loan gets pushed out for 45 days. So you get all that first month's rents for free. Plus you get all the security deposits from the old landlord and you're now ahead. Now you have a reserve account moving into the deal of literally a whole month. And so now you're setting yourself up for success with a reserve account. So those are some things that you want to be aware of when you're dealing with small apartments versus single families. And so I hope that you get the message today, which is not to go buy small apartments, not to go buy single families, and not to not do either one of them, but it is which one works better for you. Because see, when you go after small apartments, you got to pay more for them. I mean, it's just the way it is. You're buying four doors, or you're buying three doors, or you're buying two doors. You know, so if you've got a market where you can pick up $30,000-$40,000 houses that rent for $500 or $600, and then you say, okay, well, I'm going to move into a small apartment, and you're going to now buy four of those in one shot. Well, you're talking $125,000-$160,000 in some cases, right? You got to make sure the rents are in line with that. So it takes more money. So where I could buy a $35,000 house for, you know, $7,000 out of pocket, I go now to go buy a small apartment, I'm going to pay $140,000. Well, now I got to come out of pocket $20,000, $25,000, $28,000. Well, that's where you got to be ready for that move. You got to be ready for that. Also, you got to be ready for that move too, because if you buy it and it has deferred maintenance, you're not just fixing one water tank, you're fixing four of them. You know, you're not just fixing, you know, one dishwasher, you're fixing four dishwashers. So you got to make sure that you're prepared for that move and you're ready to go into it. So that's my message for you today, is not to not do anything, but it's to do something that's in congruence with your financial ability and how to maximize that and leverage that to the maximum. Single family versus small apartments. It's your choice. But whatever you do, do something. This is Zach Childress, your real estate coach. I'll see you next week on the next radio show or podcast with your real estate investing talk show. Hey, and listen to this. When I'm done with you, I'm moving over to Facebook to answer questions. So you need to be on my Facebook page, REISuccessacademy.com/Facebook. This is Zach Childress. See you next time.